Welcome, welcome to the English podcast with Tommy from learnenglishwithtommy.com.
Yes, welcome, welcome again to the English podcast with Tommy. My name is Tommy. This is the English podcast with said Tommy. Today, I have a guest of mine who is also a fellow podcaster herself. And believe it or not, she's already had me on her podcast, what now, once? Or is it twice? I think once. Well, I'll ask you the question in a minute. She's already been on this podcast once. I'd like to re-welcome her to the English podcast with Tommy, sitting somewhere in the tax haven of Switzerland, and let's hope she's not tax dodging or tax evading for that matter, Laura Wilkes from Tesselpop.
Yay!
Can you hear that? Did you just hear that? I heard the whole of Switzerland and the whole of the valleys go completely nuts. You know, I could hear yodels going off in the background. And that's sitting here in Germany. So, you know, the whole of Switzerland loves you. Welcome, Laura. Is it one or two is it one or two episodes that you've had me on your podcast for?
You actually made, we did our first recording with you a few weeks ago. So you're going to be a guest on season 7 of Tesselpop. So that's your first time on Tesselpop. But we've collaborated quite a bit before. So I was on your episode of the English podcast.
Yeah.
Giving the definitive guide to learning. So that was last year.
I think that must have been last year that we recorded that, and it only came out earlier this year. You know, so people are probably thinking, hey, wait, you're speaking about the past in the future, and it's a bit complicated.
I like to keep people on their toes, but yeah. It's lovely to be back on the show. Thanks so much for inviting me.
It's been a bloody long time, I have to say. You know, I mean, there's so many people in the wings waiting. You know, there are so many people constantly writing into me and saying, so when am I going to get my second episode in? When am I going to get my third episode in? I'm like, whoa, back up. We've got to get everyone in for twos. Then we can have them in for threes. And, you know, if you're lucky, you might get four or five. But, you know, let's not be too egoistical about this. You know, but we're always happy to have you on. We're always happy to have everyone on. And especially, you know, a fellow podcaster, because usually you're in this side of the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
And when we recorded my episode of your podcast, it felt really wrong because I didn't have there was no jingle. There was no introduction from me. There was no, you know, me doing my monologue at the beginning, and it felt, hang on, something's missing here. Is this the right podcast? Have I come to the right place?
And yeah, it's a different podcasting planet.
Exactly. Speaking of planets, though. Oh, that was beautiful. I don't think you really meant that, but, you know, I'll go with it anyway. Speaking of planets, which planet are we heading off to today, Laura?
Well, I think we're going to be jetting out, not just to a specific planet, but into outer space, because we're going to be talking about Doctor Who today.
You what?
You told me I couldn't do the music, but I can't help it.
I would happily play it for you, you know, but then it would probably be kicked off by, you know, by the German authorities because
copyright. Rightfully so.
So we're gonna leave it there. But Doctor Who, you know, and for those of you listeners who are not familiar with Doctor Who is who?
It's the name of a very popular and quite famous, I would say, TV show that started in the UK in the 60s and is still airing today.
Wow, that's over 60 years. You know, that must be the Doctor must be quite an old person then.
Well, that's quite original about it, and I think one of the cool things about Doctor Who is that, you know, it transcends generations, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So my older brothers grew up watching it. My parents watched it, and the younger generations, like my nephews, are watching it now. It's more than just a TV show, wouldn't you say, Tommy? It's quite a cult following.
I mean, you know, not being an avid watcher of Doctor Who myself, you know, but obviously when you see the Daleks, you know who they are, you know, and you know when you see Doctor Who and the TARDIS, you know what they are, you know.
Yeah.
It's. I would say, if I may put this out there, it's a part of British culture. It's a mainstay of the BBC. Now, there are lots of things going around at the moment in British politics. You know, we're not going to delve into British politics here. But there are there's a lot of BBC bashing going along. You know, is it woke? Is it not woke? Is it conservative? Is it Labour? Is it this? Is it that? To be brutally honest, We should be proud of our BBC. And, you know, just a quick footnote here before I let you continue. My mother worked for the BBC as a translator. Mm-hmm. You know, from Hungarian to English. She listened to Hungarian news and watched Hungarian news and translated it into English. You know, and that was many moons ago. But anyway, you know, that's why I would say we need to be proud of our BBC, because it is a service which doesn't exist in many countries. You know what I mean? So to have something like Doctor Who going on for over 60 years is a part of the mainstay of British society. Tell me, who is Doctor Who? I mean, we know that he's a doctor of some sort, but what does he do? Or what does she do, actually? Because now it's,
That's a good question, isn't it? Because the character changes. So I think, like, to give a very, like, broad overview of this series, and I realise there's probably going to be fans of the series that will contact and add further details. So when I said it's a cult following, it really does have quite a strong fan base.
Yeah.
But the main character that obviously is part of the name of the show is the Doctor, or Doctor Who is obviously the name of the show. The Doctor is the protagonist. And the Doctor and his sidekick, I think for want of a better word to describe the supporting character or characters around him, go and basically resolve issues, whether the issues come to them or they discover a problem, and basically save the world. And if you think about the story arc, it kind of follows the scenario of there's a problem, and then they have to kind of investigate what the problem is.
Yeah.
And the problem comes to the surface and reveals itself. Usually it's a villain or a group of villains. And then there's a kind of fight-off scene of tension where they have to overcome and defeat that villain. And then everything is restored happily ever after. Or at least the villain is defeated until later on when they re-emerge. Which is, you mentioned the Daleks. They are probably the most famous villain.
Exterminate!
Yeah, that robotic tinny voice.
Yeah.
They do make several appearances, and I think they'll always continue to do so because they're that returning villain.
Yeah.
So that's it in a nutshell. And the Doctor is obviously at the heart of things, using very unique ways to resolve the problem. And I should probably add, it's sci-fi, so you've got aliens, robots, mysteries from the universe, all kind of coming together in the story.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just doing a quick background search here while you're talking to me. You know, you're probably thinking, oh, he's invited me onto his podcast. And yet again, he's off in the background doing other things. You know, how rude can this man be? Well, no.
Are you quickly Googling, like, all the doctors?
I literally had to quickly Google Doctor Who. You know, Doctor Who has its own Twitter at BBC Doctor Who. And it's been going since the first episode was aired in 1963.
That's right, yeah.
And it's been going it's into its 60th year, but, you know, it's obviously had its ons and offs, you know, so...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I was gonna just say with that, like, the ons and offs, it did, like, stop in 1989.
Yeah.
And it was thankfully due to the BBC. You talked about the BBC earlier. The BBC ran a radio show of Doctor Who and Get the Story Live, and Virgin Media, I think, also ran a magazine. So between that and when it returned to our screens, which I think is 2005, yeah, it returned to our screens. So it did have a bit of a break between 89 and 2005.
Mm.
But the BBC and also the Virgin Media at the time really kept the story alive and the love for the characters. That meant that, you know, in the early 2000s, it felt like a good time to do a reboot. And I'm really glad they did. It's now very much part of that kind of Christmas series, that we enjoy in the UK in December time.
And what I would say is, you know, because there are lots of people who know reboots, you know, and they're going to be thinking, oh, it's a reboot of the original, and reboots are terrible. You know, reboots are terrible. But let me just put it out there. A BBC reboot is never terrible because it's the BBC. You know, and obviously I'm not going to go off on a tangent here with BBC, be proud of the BBC and whatever. But, you know, if a reboot is done by the British Broadcasting Corporation, aka the BBC, then it can't be a bad reboot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, There were quite a few doctors. You know, the 13th doctor was actually surprisingly a woman.
Yeah, Jodie Whittaker.
Exactly, Jodie Whittaker. Now, people are probably thinking, wait a second, isn't a doctor meant to be a man?
Yeah, it was originally, wasn't it? So cast up until that point, it was always a man that set it, that took on that role. And so I do recall at the time, there was some controversy in the news when Jodie Whittaker was announced to be taking on the role of the Doctor. And I think this was because, you know, it is quite a love show and people have quite, I don't want to say fixed, but they had gotten attached to it being a certain way and they perhaps couldn't imagine the role being taken on by a woman. But, you know, kudos to the casting directors. They picked an excellent actor to take on the Doctor. And I think Jodie Whittaker is one of my favourite actors to take on the role because of just how she brings her own, like, unique energy. She's just got such a presence on stage that I feel that not all of the other actors have had. I've mainly felt like I've been watching a theatre performance in some of the older recordings, which is of its time.
Yeah.
I think to really kind of bring it to and introduce it to a new audience and form new fans, Jodie did an absolutely incredible job.
But she's no longer the Doctor anymore, which is
she's
a real shame, because now we're on to Doctor number, and I'm just going to give you the, I'm going to tell you which Doctor number we're on.
Do you know who it is?
I can't tell you who it is, no, but we're on to the 15th Doctor.
Shuti, I think it's Nagua, if I've pronounced that correctly, who you may have watched in Sex Education, which is quite a popular TV series.
It's him. The gay guy. The guy who acts incredibly gay.
Yes. He plays a very flamboyant character in Sex Education.
We're not going to talk about Sex Education. Please do not talk about Sex Education. That can be another episode. I promise you.
Okay.
I've rebooked it in my head. I'm going to write it down.
You see, now you're becoming a fan. Now you're noting it down, and the first episode where he is going to make his appearance, so Jodie Whittaker will hand over to him, will be December, this December, I think Christmas Day, actually the 25th of December this year. So I'm really excited to see, again, a casting really interesting actors to take this role that have uniqueness. They bring something different. So I think it's keeping the show relevant, it's building new fans, and I'm excited to see what aspects of himself and of the Doctor and of his previous roles we've seen he brings to this new series.
Exactly.
You're going to watch it, aren't you?
I might. You might catch me, might catch me turning my VPN on Christmas Day and, like, whacking it on. No one's listening, right? No one's listening to this episode yet. Let me just quickly run through a couple of the characters who I think, you know, who I can definitely resemble, you know, definitely remember from, you know, maybe turning BBC on and seeing the Doctor in action. We've got David Tennant.
Yes.
The very strong Scottish actor, who I believe he was a much loved Doctor. And then we had Matt Smith,
mm-hmm.
who was also much loved. And we also had Peter Capaldi, who, in my opinion, is an incredible actor, but I don't think he had the right persona for the Doctor.
What makes you say that? I'm interested to
hear. Well, because I think Capaldi is not that sort of man. He's not the man who sort of oozes that sort of energy. You know, he's a bit of an older Doctor. You know, he was a bit older when he was sat in the hot seat of Doctor Who, and I think he wasn't the right. He didn't ooze that persona that people sort of knew when it came to the Doctor. You know, that there was energy, there was that sort of strong persona on stage. Obviously, there are going to be other people who probably say, "Hey, how can you say that about Peter Capaldi? He's a great actor."
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Peter Capaldi is a great actor, and you know he's been in other BBC series like The Thick of It, where he's known for his bad language. You know, there's a lot that, you know, that's what I think more of Peter Capaldi. You know, when he gets to sort of I don't know, when he gets his anger out, when he gets a bit sort of worked up about things, like in the thick of it, that's where I see him as. Rather than here as a doctor, he had to be careful because it's primetime TV, kids are watching it, so he's got to sort of tone the language down and tone his sort of himself down.
I agree with you on that. He's not my favourite doctor, but I completely acknowledge like his craft as an actor and how much I love him in other things I've seen. I didn't really relate to him that well in his role as the Doctor. I much prefer Jodie Whittaker as one of my favourites. And you mentioned David Tennant, the more recent, like the rebooted series that we've seen since the early 2000s. They really do kind of stand out for me.
Yeah.
But everybody has their favourite. So I like how the Doctor, you haven't really mentioned, the Doctor regenerates. Mm. So this is why we see different actors taking on the role of the Doctor. So the concept of the character, because he is a kind of alien being, when his human body gets old or worn out or injured, he or she or they can regenerate and take on another form. Mm. And that's why we've seen so many people take on the Doctor. Actually, did you know this came about because the original actor, he started to get sick and he was very unwell and he started forgetting his lines and struggling with his health during the third ever season of Doctor Who. And that was, William Hartnell, who was the first Doctor.
Yeah.
And that's what generated the script writers and the producers to think about, well, we want to continue the series. Mm. How can we do this? This was like in 1966. How can we do this? And, integrate this regeneration and recasting of the Doctor into the storyline. That's where this concept of regeneration comes.
Super. All right, so we've had a bit of an overview about who the Doctor is, what the Doctor does. Yeah. He's got a sidekick, and he's got the famous TARDIS, which is an old-fashioned telephone box. Telephone box, isn't it?
Police box.
My apologies, not a telephone box. Telephone box was never blue. Police box, which was blue. And it travels into different dimensions, into different areas of space. But then the question comes, how can learners improve their English with the Doctor?
Well, that is a big question. Well, I think like what you do with your classes, it's not just about learning the language, but also finding things that resonate for you, that you're interested in, whether it's TV, films, music, that can support your learning. And also, if you are interested in British culture, if you're a bit of an Anglophile, and this is an area you want to explore, then Doctor Who is a good thing to maybe check out. That would be my suggestion. I think there's some really good phrases and short phrases in the action scenarios that that are quite comical, because it is tongue-in-cheek. It is designed for young people, teenagers, and adults. It's a family show at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So you do get some really nice chunks of language, and nothing rude is ever in there, although there is some nice humour, I think, that's in there. So perhaps that's the value it can bring for language learners if they are particularly interested in exploring British culture.
Exactly, because, there's a lot of British humour which many people will think is incredibly dry. And that actually pops up quite a lot in Doctor Who. You know, there's a lot of sort of tongue-in-cheek, dry humour, sarcasm, a lot of puns, a lot of idioms, which you might pick up. You're thinking, well, hang on, that's not even funny. But you've got to remember, British people are not as open with their humour as, let's say, North Americans, from the US or from Canada. And we are different in terms of how we perceive our culture and how we perceive humour inside of our culture.
Humour's different, isn't it, from culture to culture, and whether we like laugh out loud or just like chuckle to ourselves.
Yeah, of course,
it can vary, can't it? Which I find really fascinating with learning languages myself.
Yeah, I mean, I find it incredibly important when watching something like Doctor Who to remember to get that British hat on, to get your British hat on and to remember it is British, it's very British, and there are going to be a lot of things that people might not understand, but remember, if you do not understand something, you can always replay it, go back, play that scene out through again, whatever you might need to do. And also, you can always ask a teacher.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It could be a really interesting thing to explore as part of your teaching materials in a lesson.
Yeah.
I think if you're a particular fan of sci-fi as a genre, this could be a really fun way to learn and to, yeah, pick up some really useful chunks of language and maybe even some humorous jokes if you wish to try that. I'm not very good at making jokes, I must admit.
No, I mean, I you know, when it comes to a joke, I sort of try and keep them to myself.
Yeah.
It's easier that way.
Like, see jokes or tell yourself a joke and you laugh at it yourself.
Yeah.
I do that.
Of course I do. You know, I know that my jokes are probably not going to be funny to many people, but, you know, I find them incredibly funny.
It's always funny to you, that's fine.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Exactly. So, dear listeners, we have here the Doctor. A man who comes from a different dimension, who travels around in an old police box, which is blue. And when we say blue, it's very... And that's another thing which I find quite interesting about the Doctor. The police box and how blue that police box is. It's,
yeah.
It's not sort of like a blue which is like, oh, you know, dull, faded blue. It's sort of like in-your-face blue. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like when you see it in front of you, you're like... Hang on, that's not exactly... That's a bit strange. Why would you...
Yeah, why that's not a telephone box, it's something else, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's another thing that you will find out, that you'll see. You also hear the Daleks now and again with their very tinny, monotone, exterminate voice.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, dear listeners, that when you go and do this, put your British cap on and to remember that it is a very British part of society. It's a very British thing. Despite it going on for over 60 years, it's still it's still going strong, which is very important. So now I'm going to draw the magic box. As you can see, the magic box here in front of you, Laura.
Okay.
You can see it, can't you?
Yeah, I can. What's going to go in the box?
Well, you tell me what you tell me. What's going in the magic box? Is it the Doctor? Is it, or is it your Instagram handle and how we can find you on social media?
Oh, are we finishing the episode already?
Did you want to continue? We can continue on this.
I was going to say, if I could leave in the box three of my favourite villains, because I think a series is only as good as the villain, really, or a story is only as good as the villain. You can have the best protagonist and the best Doctor, but if you don't have a good villain, then the story's not worth it.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. We're going to have three best Doctors, three best villains, and then your social media details, all in the magic box. And I need them.
Okay.
And I need them so that I can write them down in that magic box. When I'm going to, you know, when I'm going to post this, I always re-listen to sections of the episode so that I know what you said. So I know what to write in the program notes. So, three best Doctors, three best villains, and your social media details, please. Here we go.
Okay, so the three best Doctors, I am a big fan of Tom Baker. I used to watch him on the reruns when I was growing up in the 80s, and he's obviously something that my brothers used to watch. He's very famous for his long scarf. Do you remember this ridiculously long knitted scarf he wore? He's very much a theatre actor, and that he brings that essence to the screen, and I love him for that. My second favourite would be David Tennant in the recent reruns. I love
him. I mean, I'm let down by that. I am really let down that you went with David Tennant. That was so easy. That's so easy. You could have just gone with, you know, you could have said David Tennant, Matt Smith, Jodie Whittaker in that order, or in the opposite order, in any order. But you went with, you had to choose David Tennant. I'm let down. I might not invite you anymore to the podcast. No, joke. You can come anytime. You can come. So, all right, we've got Tom Baker with his incredibly long knitted scarf.
Yeah.
David Tennant, the second Scottish Doctor.
He brings a lot of energy. I mean, he's an amazing actor, isn't he? He brought up an eccentricity.
Yeah.
He really leaned into that eccentricity that the Doctor has. So I thought that was fantastic. David Whittaker, just for being, I think she will inspire so many other women actors and girls to explore sci-fi. I don't think there's that many women that take leading roles in sci-fi, at least not to my knowledge, but of what I grew up with, at least, in the 80s and 90s. So I found that really inspiring for me as a viewer. So that's my top three. What was the other top three you want?
Villains.
Okay, so the Daleks we've already talked about. Did you know, interesting fact, that the Daleks and their obsession with exterminating everything was actually based, this is a bit of a sad reference, but it shows a thought that goes into the episodes. They're based on the Nazis. So the whole inspiration for their mindset and what they do, and they're just they don't stop, do they? They're just constant pursuit of the Doctor and his sidekicks and everybody else, and just wanting to erase them from the world. It's based on that. And that's one of the things I like Doctor Who, is that there is thought that goes into the villains. So that's my number three. At number two, I would say it's the, how do you say them, the Sontarans. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. I need to watch back the episode. But these are like the kind of like robotic, flesh-like beings. You'd have to go and search it. You're going to include the writing so people can Google it, right, to see what they look like. What's really interesting with these, they do make several appearances, these Sontarans. They're a great reference to Achilles' heel, which is an old classic story, because they have a plug in their back, which is their weak point. So I think that's quite interesting to play on the Achilles heel storyline with that particular villain. It's a reference to that classical classical literature.
Yeah.
Okay. And then finally at number one would be the Weeping Angels that have made several appearances. We saw Jodie Whittaker battle them as well, where they can move when you're not looking. And their whole kind of villain power is to kill you in the present and transport you to living in another time. And what's really clever about this is that this is a reference to quantum physics, to Schrodinger's cat or Schrodinger's box, because the character, this villain, puts you in a state of both living and not living in the storyline, which I think is really, really clever writing. And it just gives a depth to the character, to the villain. And villains, they need to have some sort of kind of why and mystique and a bit more background to them to make them a compelling villain, and that would be my top three.
Okay, so let's have a recap. We have the three best doctors, Tom Baker with his amazing scarf.
Yeah, it was just the scarf really.
David, I mean, you know, even I know the scarf and I haven't watched I didn't watch Doctor Who, you know. And then we've got David Tennant, who I think has a great personality in other series as well. And we've got Jodie Whittaker, who was the first woman doctor ever in the series. Then we have the three villains, the Daleks. Obviously, you couldn't have Doctor Who without the Daleks. And you've got the Sontarans, who I actually did a quick Google background on. And yes, I do know who the Sontarans are. And the Weeping Angels. And, you know, thinking about the name, the Weeping Angel, it's quite an interesting sort of a name, isn't it? Because with angels, we think sort of positivity, this glowing, this, you know, this angelic figure, you know. Obviously from the Bible we think of angels as being a source of positive news and whatever, and weeping angels
or carriers of death,
or carriers
and
of
I
death.
Think it's definitely leaning into the latter. I completely see what you mean about like the peace and the positive images and reputations that they're meant to have, but these are angels with a much darker agenda.
I'll try not to post this around Christmas time then, you know, because you know, it wouldn't be good, but it wouldn't be a good look, you know. Let's post Weeping Angels up at Christmas time. It would have a sort of eerie feeling to it. So now, we've put your three best and three worst in, now we'd like to know how to contact you on social media, please, if you may.
Thank you very much, Tommy. So you can find me at TESOLPOP on Instagram and Facebook, or you can just visit the website. That's TESOLPOP, TESOLPOP.com, and that's where I blog and podcast regularly, creating content for teachers of English.
Super. Wonderful. and you, dear listeners, you will not come to me or any other teacher and say, well, hang on, we haven't got anything to watch or to listen to or to improve our English, because here we go. We've got a classic here, classic sci-fi, and I have to say, I think you're probably one of the first people to delve into sci-fi, and we thank you for that. You know, that's a heartfelt thank you here from the English Podcast with Tommy to Laura Teasel Pop Wilkes. You know, I'm just putting that, you know, Teasel Pop in that sort of, you know, one of those. Yes, here's another resource that you guys can go and use to improve your English. Any other final thoughts before we drop out of here and say goodbye?
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. I just want to say thank you so much for inviting me back on the show and let me talk about sci-fi and brush off my like modern history degree that I have. I've not used it in a while, so it's actually quite good to do some social modern history. So I'm really grateful for that. Thank you, Tommy.
You're welcome. And you, dear listeners, you'll join me again for another episode of the English Podcast with Tommy. It's another goodbye from the tax evading, tax dodging country Switzerland. She will say bye. There you go.
Cheers.
And it's another goodbye from me here in Germany. Goodbye now.